Call to order, meeting of the Oceana Community Service District Board of Directors, a regular meeting on Wednesday, August 24th. Roll call, please.
Director Gibson?
Here.
Director Montez?
Here.
Director Austin?
Here.
Vice President Villa?
Here.
And President White?
Here. Have the flag salute. Everybody stand, please. Attention, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic before which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Agenda review. Do we have any changes?
President White, thank you. No changes to the agenda, but just some information in 7D with the consideration for the award of the construction contract with Highway 1. We referenced there that we were either going to use reserves or this small community drought relief program that we applied with the California State Water Board, and we were just noticed today that we received the grant funding. So where we were discussing the two options, just for your information, we got the award.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I will call for public comment on matters that are not on the agenda.
Good evening. Charles Varney, 22-year resident of Oceano, and I'm here tonight to announce my candidacy for the OCSD Board of Directors' two-year vacant seat. Here are some of the major topics I want to see the OCSD pay more attention to. One, safe routes to schools and throughout the community with more sidewalks, bike lanes, and crosswalks. And these will be funded through grants from the state's active transportation program and federal resources. Two, more county support for Oceano improvements like a new park, recreational opportunities for children, more frequent street sweeping, and more lights. Three, new economic development in Oceana with more jobs, affordable housing, and businesses. Start studying redevelopment of the airport into a new residential, business, recreational, and tourist center, which will generate millions of dollars in new property, tourist, and sales tax revenue for the county and Oceano. Four, use Oceano property and tourist tax dollars for the betterment and protection of Oceano residents, such as emergency, medical, and fire services. We need the county to provide a more fair return to Oceano for tax dollars generated in our community. And five, increase efforts to secure grant money for local projects such as flood control, improving Pier Avenue, and community recreation activities. After 100 years, do you think the Oceano community should have at least one safe sidewalk route we could use to walk to the beach and a few pedestrian-controlled crosswalks on Highway 1? OCSD should be actively seeking available grant funding for such projects and advocating for them with the county and other state agencies. I look forward to working with all of you and look forward to a civil campaign.
Question, Mr. Varney, you stated in the very beginning about a vacant seat. What seat is vacant?
Your seat.
You mean out? I don't understand that.
It's not a vacant seat.
It's not a vacant seat. I'm not leaving my seat. I'm campaigning for the seat.
Right, I'm campaigning for that seat.
I understand, but you said vacant as if there's a vacant seat that's currently vacant. There is no vacant seat at this time. Okay, but you're not part of that district. So I'm just clarifying, you know, your semantics. Well, yeah, I hope you're clear. That's what I want to make sure you understand. Very good.
Yes, Steve.
All right, that's
correct. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
There is no vacant seat. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Moving on to staff reports. The sheriffs will start. Let's start with operations. Mr. Maricino, please.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maricino, Utility Systems Manager. So Lopez is currently at 24.8% full, which is 12,235 acre feet. We got delivered just over 49 acre feet in the month of July, and we pumped just over 13 acre feet in the month of July. All right, we're continuing with our weekly, monthly samples. We had 16 work orders. We had 68 USAs. The reason for that is PG&E's having a contractor hand dig the power poles to test and treat the poles. So it's an abnormal amount of USAs that we're doing. 13 customer service calls, 4 after-hours call-outs. One of them was for 2300 Cienega. A service line broke. When we went to go to repair it, there was already a second repair on it. So we scheduled a time to replace that service line because we didn't want to have two repairs on one service line. We replaced that at a later date and then continued to pave the area. The second call-out was at 1390 24th Street. A water line, the customer broke the water line, so we shut it off until they repaired it. We turned it back on. We had a call out at 1585 22nd Street, same situation. They dug and broke it, shut it off. They had it repaired. We turned it back on. And we had a call out at 2390 Paso and got that leak taken care of the following day. Weed abatement at Well 8 and the yard. We're continuing to replace meters as needed. We repaired another hydraulic line on the jetter. We picked up quite a bit of trash on 17th Street and 15th Street. There's a lot of debris left after the areas got cleaned up. We attended a free class here at the boardroom from AWA. And once that was complete, we did a little bit of leak detection on our water system with AWWA. We installed new water service at Security Court as well as a main extension. We removed some sand and ice plant to access a manhole over there off of Strand. A light pole was struck on Highway 1 next to Chacho's, and we are currently waiting on the CHP report to find out if we can do an insurance claim. First of the month equipment runs, we had to do some repairs to the chlorine injector at Well 8. We abandoned and installed a new 1-inch service line for a remodel house. Some asbestos concrete pipe we had to wrap and test before we can dispose of it. We picked up the Well 8 motor that got rebuilt, did some truck maintenance, and we installed a new service line at 2291 Cienega. Any questions?
I have about 6.
Yes.
First of all, at Lopez, we're in the low-level response. Where do we drop below that? Where does it really shut off, like where the farmers can't get any water and that kind of stuff?
Off the top of my head, I want to say it's at 5,000 acre feet.
Yeah.
So I know the 10,000 mark's coming up. I believe that sometime in October is what is projected. And that's a 20% reduction, even though all the agencies are currently doing a 20% reduction because they're anticipating going below 10,000.
Yeah.
I think that county readjusted the October date to January.
Okay. I haven't attended a meeting. I'm sure they've met, but yes.
And these water lines are old lines or like the one? You know, we had a lot of broken water lines.
And then there was a few new remodels that we had abandoned the old ones and bring them up to standard.
And you found asbestos water lines?
Yes, some of the mains, when you do a tie-in, we do have quite a bit of AC lines in our system. It's a really good material, actually.
Yeah. Okay, anybody else have any?
On 15th and 17th and 15th, you said you picked up...
There was quite a bit of trash over in those locations. We got called, I guess there was a lot of homeless people that left and left a lot of trash.
That's what you're talking about. And I'm like, what debris are you talking about? Yes, I've noticed that.
So when they left, there was a lot of trash. We got a lot of phone calls, so we went over there and picked up the trash with the backhoe.
That's across from the church, correct?
Correct. And
I know where you're talking about.
The other location, I want to say, is by the Gold Coast Wheelers area. There was a lot of trash over there. The newest fire hydrant on Highway 1?
No, the one that
The one on Pier?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's doing great. It's still standing.
Don't
how close we came to losing.
The light pole next to Chacho's, when it got struck at about midnight on Sunday, early morning Monday, is about a half a foot away from taking out our hydrant.
You almost got two.
But the light pole was, it got hit and drug probably about 100 feet.
It's two light poles.
That wasn't one of the antique ones, though.
Oh, it was.
Yeah.
Yes.
So we've lost two.
Within a few months of each other, yes. We're just waiting on the CHP report to find out about the insurance.
Yeah.
Can those be repaired, those light poles?
Once those are struck, they go into a million pieces.
Oh.
And most of the structure, I would say no, just by looking at it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sir, you're up next.
Just in time.
Yes. Hi.
Sorry about that. I am Commander Scott. So I've been with the Sheriff's Office for 32 years. Prior to this, I was a commander at North Station for about a year and a half. About two-thirds way through at that station, I simultaneously was the commander for our detective division. Did that for about a year and a couple of months. Then the commander for headquarters and out here. So just wanted to let you know about my experience that I didn't come out of nowhere. So as far as my report today, it will encompass July 1st to July 31st. And we had four assault and battery, all misdemeanors, 47 noise disturbance calls, three burglaries, one of a vehicle, two of homes, 10 thefts of various types, such as gas stolen, which was diesel, 100 gallons, tools from an unlocked car, and catalytic converters are kind of a big thing because some of the people can sell the copper in there, and theft via a phone scam was also one. Many more, but that's just a couple. Vandalisms, we had 9 mail thefts, 1, and we actually had 1 phone scam attempt. Suspicious circumstances, 9, and this is one I'm kind of proud of, and showing our pro activity. Our deputies performed 119 stops, and I think that's good because that was still during the time of no bail. So you'll probably see that increased. And they're going to be quality stops and things that should be stopped, of course. And something I wanted to bring up, I don't know if Commander Wells did, but with the whole fentanyl epidemic, our deputies frequently use what we call Narcan. So we all have kits in our cars. Last month, they saved one person. Previous month, I think we had I don't want to say the wrong number, but there were multiples. Not a proud thing for society per se, but the fact that the deputies are out there being able to bring these people back to life with the Narcan. It isn't publicized or anything, but throughout the county with our, it happens a lot. We were able to address 17th Street homeless, the encampment there between, I think it's Paso and Ocean, and offer the individuals massive amount of services. Only one person took that, and the rest kind of scattered and went to different places. So that remains basically clear until this time, and the goal is to attempt to keep it that way and also address other areas. So for the entire month, calls for service, we had 2,135, and previous year we had 2,362. But again, you have to factor in no bail and things like that and pandemic. So any questions?
When the 17th was cleaned up, does it has a tendency then once the people leave there, do they do another street or
We know of one that went to a different street.
Okay.
And the rest, I don't know exactly where they go. But the goal is, I'm sure you guys are familiar with Boise versus Idaho, which is a stumbling block for not only us, but society in general, because it really keeps us from doing a lot. Despite that, there are methods and manners for us to legally and effectively approach that. So we're trying to do that without the goal of just moving chess pieces to another part
right.
of the board.
Right. Great. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I want to thank you for doing that on 17th and 15th Street. I do see, I think this is the third time that they that you've done this, and they tend to come back to the same streets for obvious reasons. There's places to park. And I was really happy because the street by my street, I live on 14th, 15th, was, you know, they were told to leave, and it was nicely cleaned up by the OCSD. But now they're back, so.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're back there today. I'm not saying it's the same people, but it's like it's they know that that's a parking place, and they'll probably be back at 17th, so.
Yeah, the goal is, so my method, as soon as I see someone set up, we're just going to post to them with the 72-hour immediately, and we'll see how effective that'll be. But, again, I was hands-on with that, and I was at headquarters. I was a commander of CAT, so I was our community action team. So we were able to see how it kind of works. And 9 out of 10 of the persons that you offer services to, just they deny them. They don't want the services, and there's just many things. So for various reasons. Yeah, but so we are trying to make sure it doesn't repopulate. I'm pretty proactive.
Thank you.
I have
it. Yeah. Yes.
You know, a lot of the ones that were on 17th. I'm sorry. Yeah. A lot of the ones that were on 17th are now down in Pier Avenue. That's kind of what they do when they clean up there. They go there. When they clean up there, they come back. So, and I hear from a lot of people, and they're, you know, the way they're parked on Pier Avenue, they're opening their doors onto the sidewalk there. So there's people are they don't want to walk on the sidewalk. They're walking out in the street. So I don't know if you can enforce the Pier Avenue, or does it have to be the highway patrol? Or
no, we can. We do go over there, and basically the strategy is to keep them out of 17th, then pick the next location and the next location.
Is so. the San Luis, is that full now?
So I'm glad Kansas. You asked that. Just to educate everyone. So the they call it Oklahoma Safe Parking because Kansas Safe Parking was basically trademarked by Santa Barbara. And they,
oh, you're kidding.
Yeah, they actually sent down legal papers to make them cease and desist, which, okay, whatever. And so the it's now Oklahoma Safe Parking. It has been taken over by Cap Slow, and there are vacancies, but they announced they will not take any more occupants because they can't handle it. So basically it's ineffective for us at this time. But we have other methods of having offer them hotels and if they go out and find an apartment. But, you know, so we're going to get around it. I'm not trying to sound like we're just going to immediately do everything.
Oh, it's
but intensive. It's kind of my passion for that and doing so.
I wanted to ask, too, 47 noise. What were the noises? The dogs
it's
or
fire? Usually music.
Music.
Yeah, or, yeah, I'm, I, in the future, I'll kind of have more of a detailed.
Well, it does, yeah. I'm just curious. There was a lot of calls. I didn't know if it was.
Yeah, a lot of it is music.
Mm-hmm.
I would, okay. Without even looking, I can tell you.
Fireworks? What about fireworks? Does that come in there, too?
So fireworks on 4th of July, usually it's not loud noise. It's basically just fireworks. So we partnered up with CDF, or Cal Fire.
Yeah.
And we worked Oceano Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And what he did was, in lieu of just citing everyone and having them maintain their fireworks, gave them the option to turn over the fireworks. to him and thereby not get the site. Ended up being very effective because they didn't want the site compared to the price of the fireworks. So was able to confiscate amounts of fireworks and stop the call. Because if you cite them and don't take their fireworks, they're just going to take the site and continue.
Yeah, well, I was talking about the fireworks every Saturday night. And
where at?
Oceano, Dover Beach, Roy Grandy.
Then that would just still be if there are illegal fireworks. Yeah. And, let us know exactly where that is and what's going on.
I just have one more. On the burglaries, there was actual break-ins of homes. Was this during the daytime when people were at work?
So typically with burglaries, it's after the fact. So a burglary with someone in the house and a suspect going in, extremely rare and a very sophisticated and aggressive burglar. So what happens is someone's not home and it could have been a garage or, and then the vehicle has to be a locked vehicle. Otherwise, it's not a burglary.
They call it a burglary if it's a locked vehicle?
If it's locked. If it's not, it's a theft based on the amount. So I'm going to just educate you guys. You can come ride with our civilian patrol and be ready. So,
Well, thank you very much, Commander.
Go ahead, Shirley.
I had a couple questions. I read that Grover City were using drones to try to locate fireworks, illegal fireworks. So do you know how that worked out?
I don't know if that would work out. And we do have a drone team. Finding that would be amazing because you would have to be right over it if you see it launch. But I don't know how effective that was. We did not do that. I don't think I would want to put a drone up over fireworks.
And do the deputies have defibrillators in their vehicles?
Yes, every vehicle has a defibrillator. And they're trained on them maybe every 2 years with the first aid. And it's pretty self-explanatory if you ever used one. Open it, turn it on.
Do you have any idea of how often
that is rare with the defibrillator? Our biggest thing now is either CPR or the fentanyl.
Does fentanyl look to get any better? Is it getting worse?
We do have a special operations unit, and they are seizing amounts here. But true, because of the borders and all that, it is just astronomically getting into the country. But the desire for it has increased because at one time, prescription drugs were the thing. So those are hard to get. Yeah. Heroin then became it, and now with the fentanyl, it's way cheaper, which is Russian roulette because...
Yeah, you never know.
Right.
Okay, and I want to thank you. There has been some challenges with the vandalism and stuff in the village of Halcyon where I live.
Okay.
And I wanted to publicly thank the sheriff's office and also ask you, and I never got back to finding out, but 2 weeks ago, we had somebody firing several shots 11:30 at night, they raised everybody out of their bed, and one of my neighbors got up and tracked it down. By the time they tracked it down, you guys had stopped somebody on the pike just on the border of Halcyon. The temple, the church has been vandalized several times, and I thank you because you've been working with us on it.
Well, we appreciate that, and I assure you, without just babble, we do have a really, really good group. Like every one of them, in my opinion, are pretty solid, and usually you have someone that's a little off. Not over here. They're all really good, young, and ready to go. So we're going to make sure to groom that, and so you get a great service.
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you.
Good job.
Thanks.
And we're going to let you go. You don't have to stay for the meeting.
Okay. Yeah, my emergency is still going on.
We have an emergency call. Thank you.
Just not that way.
Yeah.
structure fire. I can give a slight fire on Five Cities Fire Authority. We had a structure fire. Thank goodness we had, it was at a point where we didn't have any people browned out. We had all three stations, and it was handled quickly. And it was in Grover City, Grover Beach, in an apartment complex at 11:30 at night. There was no injuries. The apartment complex is still standing. And I do not have a cause yet, but it happened in an upstairs bedroom.
It was on the news.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, any public comment? Oh, no, we do it afterward. Okay, go on to Board of Directors. Do we have any reports from the directors? Well, I do.
I do.
Oh, you go ahead first. You get okay.
I attended a Zone 3 meeting, and the only action we took was we endorsed or supported the amended water supply contracts. And that will now go before the Board of Supervisors, and it'll be a positive thing for Ocean District.
Yay.
And on the third of the month, they had a sewer meeting, sewer board meeting. And the project, the refurbishment, redundancy project is going well. There could be some challenges with, as we're unwatering the ground to do the refurbishment, the repair work. There's a concern that we're taking water up that would be in the lagoon. But at the same time, they're studying it because we're in the middle of a drought and is drying up in some portions, but it could be naturally. So that's under study. There's some biological studies in connection with the lagoon. And I also went to the Five Cities Fire Authority Board. We're still in negotiations with the Firefighters Union, and we did give a slight increase to our fire chief and also to the management employees, that's the secretary and the assistant secretary. And I think that's about all we did because I didn't get a report written yet, which is my bad.
Karen, on that, talk about the lagoon. Is that available online somewhere?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so, but I can get some more information.
That'd be great. Thank you.
What agency is doing the test?
National Marine Fisheries. It's part of, because you see, the county is mandated to change the entrance. The entrance of the lagoon where it goes into the creek, where it goes into the ocean, has to be changed. There has to be major modifications to allow Steelhead Creek to come out of the ocean into the lagoon to transition to fresh water, mm-hmm. so they can go upstream. And that has to be done, and they're trying to figure out a way to do that at this time because there's some complex problems with the sewer line, with the entrance to the... It's just a challenge. And it was engineered in the 1950s by the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. If they do it one way, they're not going to be able to do it one way because the outfall line would end up in the middle of the creek. And that is obviously not anything that can be worked. And, of course, to move the outfall line would be a little $5 million price tag for Oceano, Rio Grande, and Grover Beach.
Wow.
So they're working on that project. They've hired an attorney to represent the sewer district in whatever is going to come, and their environmental specialist as an attorney, so that it's... But there's no problems yet because there's all people have lots of solutions, suggestions, and so on and so forth. Anyway, thank you. Okay, public comment on... badly presented reports?
I think most of us were at the meeting or the overview that SLOCOG and Caltrans did on the Oceano Plaza project. And my sense is that there was, you know, a lot of appreciation and excitement about that. It will be a great asset for our community. One thing I was really concerned about is that there's no provision for electricity and electrical outlets. I was actually, no pun intended, shocked that that was the case. I can't, if a Carmel Plaza was being constructed by Caltrans, I can't imagine they wouldn't think of putting electricity in it. So I contacted Caltrans staff and discussed with them the possibility of laying the conduit, since there is a street light on the sidewalk right in front of the plaza, and Oceana Community Services District is responsible for public electricity in this community. And I connected Caltrans back with the general manager of OCSD, and it appeared that they were going to be able to work out something so that at least the conduit would be laid so that at some future time the electrical wires could be pulled as opposed to trying to trench through the new plaza. I just wondered if there's a progress report on that or a status report of that. Perhaps Mr. Maricino knows some update on it.
Yes, Mr. Maricino. I would correct you, Charles. Oceana Community Service District is not in charge of electricity. We're in charge of lighting. PG&E is in charge of electricity. Thank you.
That's correct. I met with our electrician, did a little feasibility, and there will be conduit ran for three separate locations for outlets.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Moving on to consent agendas. Do we have anything on the consent agenda? Any changes, any modifications, any questions?
Move that we accept the consent agenda.
And sorry, just to interrupt, sorry, couldn't turn on my mic. If when we get to consent, when we get to 7D, the 7D is the contract that we received the small.
Yeah.
If we could just hold off on number 3 of item contract where we received our small community drought preventative grant, that one was proposing that we would have reserves. We'd be using reserves, and I'll come back to you once we get the grant award with a new proposed budget adjustment to use grant revenues instead of the water fund reserves, which are proposed on page 34. So maybe 7D revised, 7D without the budget adjustment would be a proposed motion.
So are you saying that we don't have to spend this $297?
Yeah, so I'm going to come back to you once I get the grant contract and
Okay, but we can approve it tonight.
You can approve the contract, just amended. The use of reserves
as
won't
amended.
Be needed.
As amended.
Yeah. Yes, thank you, sorry.
We all understand the amendment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Public comment? No public comment?
I move that when we approve the consent agenda as amended.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Vice President Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Montez?
Yes.
And President White?
Yes. Okay. So that puts us back to the budget, right?
Correct.
Okay, we'll go into item 8. There is no item 8, so item 9 is hearing item, consideration of the recommendation to approve the final 2022-23 budget.
Thank you, President White, members of the board, 9A. This is the hearing that we scheduled at our June 22nd meeting. This is to approve the final budget for the 2022-2023 year. So just a short recap and kind of a timeline of everything we've up to this date. So the preliminary budget was adopted on June 22nd, and that established the revenues and the expenditures for this budget. Then at our July 27th meeting, you adopted the encumbrances that were going to carry over from the previous year, and so they've been incorporated into this budget that's attached to your agenda. And so then here in front of you today, we have the revenues, the expenditures, the encumbrances, and the use of reserves all combined into a final budget, which we then we give this to the county auditor and the local agency formation commission, so LAFCO. So that's where this gets sent to after it's been approved. So just a quick summary. Basically, in the general fund, we're going to add $63,320 to reserves for this next year. And that's because we're going to use fund balance available. And that is basically taking the savings from the previous year and moving it to this year. And we went over fourth quarter budget for last year at our July meeting. So those savings are now incorporated into this budget as well. And then for the facilities funds, we always predict that we're going to receive $15,000 in public facilities fees. And those are fees that are paid to the county, and they're transferred to us for public facilities fees. And we hold those in our facilities budget. And so we will transfer those to reserves. So that's also a positive addition to reserves. So then we have our enterprise funds, which are like our water, wastewater, and garbage. So the water fund, we have a large fund balance available from last year. So we're going to be adding $450,231 to the water fund reserves. And so that's also because back in October 22, we also did a rate increase, and we were able to raise rates. And so that's part of that increase as well. Then we have the wastewater fund. We're only going to be adding $45,022 to reserves. And as you know, the interfund debt transfer from the sheriff's office is going to end this year. So obviously we've been discussing the need to increase wastewater rates since they haven't been increased since 2011. Then garbage fund, that's going to decrease reserves by $37,000, and that's because back in 2022, as you guys remember, we adopted a resolution to lower franchise fees from 10% to 5% to help out customers' bills. So with that summary can be seen on page 49 of your agenda package, and it shows each fund and how the reserves are going to be affected by this upcoming budget. So with that, our next steps will be to incorporate any adjustments that you guys have tonight, and then we'll provide it to the county auditor and LAFCO. So with that, if there's any particular line items you guys have questions on, I would be happy to answer them.
We've all studied our budgets and...
Carrie, you said, so for the garbage fund, there's going to be a decrease?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, it's going to be a decrease of $37,354.
I think that represents the decision we made to reduce our franchise fees, which, because they were in surplus, in a sense.
Right.
And we felt that rather than piling a lot of money into one of our budget funds, we could let the public have that 5%.
That's great. That's great. Awesome.
So, yeah,
just for history there.
Yeah, if you go to page 49, you'll see
even after right this,
even after the $37,000 in reduction, $204,000 in reserves.
And we use that mostly for community cleanup.
Correct. Cleanups, anytime, the Ready 311 app where people report trash, that gets coded to there. Our utility staff time gets coded to there when they're picking up trash, when any of the programs like the cleanup weekend, the weekend cleanups that you can do at parks, or even the neighborhood cleanups, all those come out of that budget.
What about the big items, washing machines or refrigerators?
Right, when people call the garbage company, yeah. And on our behalf, that comes out of there too.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. I believe we need to approve our budget.
Okay. I make a motion that we approve, that we do a public comment on this first.
Oh. I'm sorry. Is there any public comment, Mr. Varney?
Charles Varney, I have a question about the facilities fund. I was looking at it, and can you tell me, I don't see the train depot listed as a line item of, you know, expenditures. Is it in the larger budget someplace?
So the train depot, it doesn't incur expenditures for us. And the lease is rented for $1 a year, so it's not in. Yeah. Okay. So we have the old fire station, which is down at Highway 1 and 13th. That's through group. It's AA. And then we have the fire rent, which is the module home or modular back there that the fire department uses. And then the sheriff's lease.
Okay. So basically, okay. So the depot is $1 a year.
Yes, and they pay all their utilities. We don't pay their utilities.
Okay, thank
you. Yeah, of course.
Can I, may I give some comment on this, please?
Sure.
Since I'm the president of the Oceano Depot Association, so I would like to inform Mr. Varney and the public the status of the Oceano Depot. It is the depot building itself belongs to the Oceano Depot Association. The property was acquired by us back or from the county back in 1979. The depot was moved, and the only reason OCSD has never put a penny into that project. What happened was in 1998. When we got a Caltrans grant to put in the parking lot, OCSD owns a portion of the parking lot, and the Depot Association owns from the back part of the depot, the land, all the way to the two homes. So OCSD has never been involved in any of the maintenance or any incurrence. All they're doing is a pass-through agency. Back at that time when we got the grant, we weren't a government agency. The Oceano Depot and the Oceano Improvement Association were just organizations that have, you know, worked in Oceano for all these years. So the state said they needed a government agency to handle the pass-through of the funds. So the county being up there, OCSD being here, and at that time it was, you know, a community-minded group. We didn't have people that always tried to find wrong and fault and things. So OCSD said, we'll take over the handling of that grant. So that's what happened. And that's where OCSD became involved. So there's no taxpayer money or anything that goes into that project over there. It's all privately funded. Thank you.
How much has been invested in the depot?
How much?
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars over since 1973 when the depot was closed. Community involvement, people that care about the community, organizations, the Oceano Depot Association, the Oceano Improvement Association, the Oceano Kiwanis, and just private citizens, the Patricia Loomis Foundation, the Leslie Gerber Bend. Huh?
With the Women's Club in it, too?
The Women's Club, Oceano Women's Club donated money, and in fact, when they closed, they gave nice money that we were able to do improvements. It's very, very expensive to run that place. We're on a shoestring all the time. We depend on, you know, support from the community, and it makes me very nervous when I know where he was going, was that, you know, because this was brought up before, that, well, how come the depot only pays $1 a year? Well, that's the way it's set up by the county. And if we don't do our job over there, if we fold, then that property doesn't come back to OCSD. It doesn't come back. It goes back to the county. And, you know, that's not going to happen because we are dedicated to seeing that through for this community, for this state, for this county. And it's a fabulous asset that we have in this community due to a bunch of very dedicated people that spend hours and hours with no compensation or anything, nothing in return but a satisfaction of doing what's right for this town. And we're having a big event this weekend, and I hope I see everyone there because it's going to be very fascinating. People are coming from all over, even Ireland, to see our depot.
Linda, what year was when OCD did the parking lot?
98 and 2000.
1998? Mm-hmm. Okay, so that was last century.
And the parking lot, all the property, we pay all the maintenance, we pay the insurance. Like you said, there's not one penny has ever come from OCSD for that project across the street.
And my great aunt donated the caboose.
And they donated the
there you
Lewis
go.
Family, mm-hmm. the all the local people, the people that have been in Oceano, that have Oceano in their heart, have contributed to that building in all kinds of ways with artifacts from the community. We have everything in there is original from Oceano. There's a lot of pride in that, with most of the people in town have pride in it.
And very
parking,
good.
And the parking lot is public.
What do you mean?
Well, the AA uses
it's not public, it's private, but the AA uses it. And that's another thing, is that OCSD rents to the AA, and we graciously allow them to park over there. We don't have, but we do.
Yeah.
We work out a thing. So, I mean, we all cooperate, or we, you know.
Yeah, we all work together.
It's been that way all these years, up until the late last few years, when we've had people that don't want to cooperate and work with everybody and do what's right for this town to make it, keep it the way it was, you know.
Thank you.
So,
I'd like to respond to that, since I'm being castigated here. I did not start anything.
She didn't mention
you're,
your name.
You're making.
I want to talk about Mr. Barnum.
My attorney wants to say something, please.
I think we had public comment, so it was a prerogative of the chair, but I think we've had public comment on this item, and this is a budgetary item.
Sit down.
When comments are made about the individual making public comments,
can we continue on with our meeting without you interrupting it?
This is not a sit-down.
Please, thank you.
I made a motion that we approve the final 2022-23 budget.
Call for the question.
Is there a second?
Second.
Yeah.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Vice President Villa?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Montez?
Yes.
And President White?
Yes. Okay. Do we have any written communication, any late communications?
Just that notice about the grant funding.
Okay, which was so delightful. Yeah.
Right, all good news.
Yeah. Any future agenda items coming up for our next meeting?
What about our class picture?
Yes. We've been waiting.
That. Today would have been a good day. I had my hair done.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
We have clothes on.
I do have a phone if you want to do it today.
Sure, well, let's use a phone. Yes, let's get that updated.
Okay. What do you call it? Polly.
Can we take 5 minutes, or should I end the meeting and then take the picture?
We can end.
Oh, do we not take our picture?
I think I'll close the meeting, and then we can take a class picture, if that's without, or would that be a conflict with the Brown Act?
No.
Okay, is there any more business to come before this meeting tonight?
No.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Hear, hear.
I just want to make it clear.